You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, in light of the recent budget announcement, the proposed mega prison has been declared off the cards. I spoke to Tanya Mead from Just Speak, a criminal justice reform advocacy group, about the overflowing prison population and what needs to be done. So, as part of the budget announcement, the government has come out stating there will not be a mega prison built. As a representative for people going through the judicial process, what are your feelings towards this announcement?
Well, we've been campaigning hard against the proposal to build a mega prison at Waikeria, so we're very relieved to hear that that a mega prison is off the table. And we are really interested to know what other initiatives will remain on the table for this government in terms of meeting their targets to reduce the prison population by 30%. We see the budget as having identified some ways that they might address the capacity crisis currently through 600 beds in rapid build units. And that seems like a reasonable way to, in the short term, to deal with the fact that they are running out of beds. But it is certainly not a long-term solution and not one that we would want to see be relied upon in the long term, because the questions about the appropriateness of those facilities is a large one. It's a great indication of where this government is going and that they're interested to make good on their election promise to pivot towards a more effective criminal justice system that's based on evidence. Mm-hmm. But we don't yet see what they are offering instead of this proposal.
Yeah. For a prison. The issue here is that despite crime rates going down, we've got a prison population that's rising and is overcrowded. Oh, these people obviously need to go somewhere, and overcrowded prisons present risk for both inmates and also the staff working there. If no mega prison, what do you believe the alternative should be?
The alternative should be an immediate plan to start to reduce the prison population, because the current number of people in our prison is not a reflection of crime being committed, but of our legislative settings and our the way that we respond to harmful behaviour. There is no question that that the number of people in our prisons now is more than it has ever been before in New Zealand, and represents a failure on our part to deal with issues that drive people into the criminal justice system: mental health, drug and alcohol addiction, cycles of violence, including family violence. And when we say that we need to put people somewhere, we actually want to help address people's issues with institutions that would actually, that have a therapeutic intent, that are set up to help people address the issues that that drive their offending. So we don't think that investing in an institution that has failed and it continues to fail people in terms of reoffending or addressing the issues, that the underlying issues, is a good use of our money. And frankly, it contributes to the long-term marginalisation of Māori communities in particular, and to harmful outcomes for the families of those involved. So it's a terrible use of money, and it doesn't really reflect the evidence that we have about the effectiveness of prisons.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up. Obviously, people don't just end up in prisons by being intrinsically bad people. There's a lot of issues that come into that. And with this budget coming up now, do you think there's enough money going into social services, going into education, and going into health to be able to provide the support to young people and to people just in general to lower the crime rate and the incarceration rate?
No, I think that was one disappointing thing about this budget, was the lack of targeted initiatives that would address the drivers of crime. There was no money that we saw for that specifically put towards drug and alcohol addiction services or additional mental health investment in kind of crisis mental health facilities or capacity. Both of those things, as we know, are massive drivers of the cycle of people into our criminal justice system. But we're also sort of waiting to see whether the government will make good on its commitment to do better by vulnerable people in society in general. And we still are yet to see significant investment in the welfare system and the punitive nature of that, which reflects the punitive nature of the criminal justice system, without an overhaul of those policies and of the harm that is done by pushing people further into poverty and to isolation and marginalization, we won't address these issues overall. So there was an absence of that level thinking, I believe, in this budget. Certainly investment in education and health are welcomed. I think those things are obviously crucial, but there is an absence of systems level thinking about why we are willing to spend $1 billion on, or we were contemplating the idea of spending $1 billion on a prison system when that money could be put to such better use if invested earlier in the pipeline, if you will, and in government services that are actually effective and actually help people.
So staff from the prison in Waikerea say that the conditions there are just not up to standards. They don't provide a safe environment for prisoners. They don't provide a safe environment for staff because they're just outdated and overcrowded. Obviously, something needs to be done now. And I think there's a concern. Public services are calling on the government to give them more clarity on what is actually going to be done. What do you say to those people who have those concerns?
Yeah, I think that's a really legitimate concern. I think that the government has a responsibility to take care of our people it has put in the situation, both people who are being held at Waikerea as well as those working there, because it is their decision-making around parole, bail and sentencing that has led to the massive increase in the prison population, which is putting such strain on institutions such as Waikerea. Unfortunately, the state of the facilities there, this is not a new issue. This has been something that has been going on for some time. It has been a fundamentally run down set of facilities for a while now. And that's not excusable, but the idea that we should solve that by investing billions of dollars in an institution that will become redundant were we to actually achieve our long-term goal of reducing the prison population and investing in effective alternatives, doesn't make sense to me. I think the best way to make sure that people who are currently incarcerated and people working in those institutions are safe is to look at what steps we could take now to reduce the pressure on the prison population and on those facilities. And there are a number of things that the government could get underway now, particularly when it comes to parole and bail, that would help to reduce that pressure and basically buy us breathing space to think about what long-term solutions we can put in place.
Now, just a final question. It's our housing week this week at BFM. We've got to focus on housing and the issues around that. Obviously, housing's related to a lot of things, homelessness related to a lot of things, and people coming out of prison often struggle to gain housing. Do you think this is part of the issue of the crime rate? Reoffending rate, sorry.
Yes, absolutely. I think that the unavailability of suitable housing at the parole end of the spectrum plays an enormous contributing role in the difficulties for people to reintegrate and to essentially find their footing. People are let out of prison with often with little to no money to their name, without a guarantee of being able to access government services because they don't have the required forms of identification. They may be unfamiliar with the way that systems work if they've been incarcerated for a long time, and effectively they're being set up to fail. So security of housing for people at coming out on parole or once they've completed their sentences would go a very long way to at least providing a decent chance for people to transition into work and into stable lives. But housing would also play an enormous role in changing the number of people that are being held on remand. So, who form around 30% of our prison population, the increase in the remand population was a massive driver of the explosion in the prison population that we've seen over the last 5 years. So, if there were, that was one positive thing in the budget, that there was an investment in about $58 million, I believe, in housing for bail and parole. Too many people are denied bail because their housing is deemed unsuitable, whether that be because they're sharing living quarters with too many people or because of the associations of the people that they live with, of family, because their housing is Housing New Zealand and they may not be permitted to stay there, or because they're homeless. And I mean, that's an indictment on our criminal justice system, that your access to justice is predicated on your whether you have a home or not. So certainly all of these issues are interconnected, and without a better investment in secure social housing for people, not just, you know, housing to buy, but housing that people can rely on, we won't see any drastic changes in the outcomes of people. And I think that's a real concern.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.